into the garbage, you flyboy!
This is a rebellion, isn't it?
I call it aggressive negotiations.
The garbage will do!
Welcome to this month's Trash Compactor podcast, Star Wars from a Certain Point of View. I'm MC and I'm here with...
Hi, I'm Sarah.
And this month we are talking about Star Wars Celebration, which we've done an episode on this before, but this one is super special because both Sarah and I actually went this time.
Yay! I know, I tried to go 2 years ago. And it just didn't work out.
Yeah, I wanted to go too, but I was scared, I think, of Celebration. It seemed very intimidating. But having gone, I don't know what I was intimidated by.
No, but from what I remember hearing about Orlando, I'm really glad this was our first one.
Yeah, this was a good one. The only thing missing was Dennis Lawson. I know you wanted
that.
Yeah, but it was held in Chicago, which was...
cold and wet?
I was trying to think of a good way to say it, but yeah, cold and wet is exactly what it was. Apparently, Molly from Star Wars Explained ended up buying one of those Chewbacca jackets they had at the Tower of Shirts. You know, the really, like, fuzzy ones.
Yep.
Specifically because it was so damn cold and she didn't have a jacket. And she said it was her best purchase of the con.
I've had purchases like that, actually.
Yeah.
But other than being cold and wet, it was amazing.
It was, yeah. There were obviously some bumps in their system, which we can get into a little bit later. But, you know, let's start with... we both got into, you know, convention world on Wednesday. I'd already been in Chicago for a few days because I've got family there. But yeah, we came in on Wednesday. And the first thing that happened when we got into the hotel is I just saw the sea of, like, Star Wars shirts and huge boxes that said 501st on it. And I'm like, I wanted to turn to somebody, but you weren't there yet. I wanted to say, Chewie, we're home, because it was just, you could feel Star Wars fandom just, like, right there.
I got swag on the airplane on my way in.
Nice.
It was a button and a postcard, but on the airplane. I don't know that we had even taken off yet.
Oh my gosh.
Someone saw my bag covered in pins and handed me a Star Wars button.
That is awesome. So Wednesday, we were just trying to get, like, all acclimatized, whatever, to the convention, you know, set up what our schedule was, get food in us, to get ready for Thursday. And Thursday was, oh my God. What time did we wake up Thursday morning?
Early. I'm a morning person, so I was up by about 5 to start with.
Yeah, and I think I was up about 5:30, which I'm not usually a morning person, but at cons, when I know there's something to get up for, I will wake up. So,
and we had no intention of going to get in line as early as we did.
But we did, anyways.
But we did. 8:30 in the morning, we were in line.
Yep.
And waited there for 4.5 hours.
And yet I am very glad we did that. First of all, we met some very nice people in line.
Yep.
I cannot remember their names now, because that happened a lot. Where you would meet some nice people and you would interact with them, but you wouldn't see them again for, like, the rest of the weekend, basically.
But they were very nice. We alternated holding spots for each other while we ran to get coffee, restrooms.
Yeah.
One of the girls got these cool little tote baggy things with a whole bunch of Ziploc bags in them.
Yeah.
And programs, and it was great. I understand now why people like the overnight lines.
Yeah. I'm glad they did not do those.
And I would never do them.
Yeah.
But I understand why people like it.
I have done overnight lines before for concerts, and it does have a similar feel. But they're always entirely miserable, especially when you're sitting on the streets of New York.
Yeah, we were sitting on the concrete of McCormick Place.
Yeah. But I'm glad we got into line early, not only to meet people, but because the very first thing we wanted to do, this was like kind of one of our most important missions for the convention, was we made an absolute beeline for the Del Rey booth to go get the wristband for the Master and Apprentice book. And we got it that first day.
We were what, like 15th in line?
Something like that. We were very early.
It was the two of us and the two guys standing next to us. Just, we figured out where it was to start with. So we knew exactly where to turn when we went in the door.
Yeah.
And bam, right there, and got our books. Well, yep. Got our wristbands for the books.
Yep. Got our wristbands, and we're able to pick up the book later that day. It was a little bumpy actually getting our hands on the book because Del Rey was having some problems with their register situation. Like, I think they couldn't run credit cards.
Yeah, that was...
I think that was a common problem the first day, people having problems with their registers.
Yes.
I don't know. I think maybe they were all running on the same systems, probably, I'm going to guess.
That could be the same network, probably. Yeah. But other than that, and it did work out, we did get our books by the end of the day. Yeah.
And I think that same day we also got our Alphabet Squadron.
The patch.
The patch, yeah.
Yeah, Del Rey was also giving out patches if you showed that you had pre-ordered Alphabet Squadron. Which, you know, it's a book about pilots. Of course it's pre-ordered.
And I pre-ordered it specifically because it's like, well, you know what? Hera's mentioned in the synopsis. You're going to buy it anyways. So why don't you get a patch along with it? So, right. Yeah, I pre-ordered it. And so that I could make free shipping on it, I got something else to just push me over because I was only, like, I think, like $3 short. So I bought a Kling for my car. And my car broke down on my way home from Celebration, so just a little bit of irony there.
It'll be a new present for the new car.
Exactly. Oh my gosh, I'm trying to think of what we did next.
Looked around.
We looked around, and I think we stuck close to the Del Rey booth, because I think Jason Fry was signing soon after we got the book. And at that point, I had The Last Jedi novelization in my bag, because we were going to be on a hunt for me to find something that a bunch of people could sign, but that was something that we hadn't done yet.
And then we went over to the art show, right?
Yes, we did go over to the art show. We wanted to do that early.
Because I had pre-ordered some artwork that I wanted to pick up.
Yes, and we also wanted to get a friend of Sarah's, Danny Haas, was one of the artists at the convention, and he had these awesome bookmarks that he was giving out. And
yeah, he does half and half portraits. So it'll be the one that's been up on my wall for eternity is Dick Grayson, half Robin, half Nightwing.
Yeah, it's like two different identities from the same person.
Right. So the one we really wanted for his first bookmark was Kanan.
Yes, it was Kanan, blind and not blind. And right. That was, I think, the first one that was out, and we snatched that up right away.
Yep.
And then, of course, like, we were drooling over a bunch of other artists' art, and there were some that we really, really wanted. But unfortunately, like, one of the problems with, like, Celebration as opposed to, like, Comic Cons is that since all of the stuff is licensed by Lucasfilms, is the art fetches a premium compared to what you will find at Comic-Cons. So it was very pricey art.
Which didn't really stop me. But I picked up this gorgeous, gorgeous X-Wing piece.
You did.
That now I can't remember the artist's name. But it's pretty, and I haven't figured out where to put it up yet. But I also got two Ahsoka pieces that were pre-ordered, and one Clone Trooper one. And, oh, they're so gorgeous. And I'm going to have to rearrange my walls completely to make space, but I'll figure it out somehow.
Yeah, I need to do that too, and I didn't get as much art as you did.
Yeah, and that's not even counting like the little freebies that people were handing out.
Yeah.
And then the giveaways from the panels.
And while we were looking for art, we also went on a poster hunt for me. We did not find an actual poster. We went and got a print. The artist, you know his name.
Joe Caroni.
Joe Caroni. And I have some of his art already. I have a bunch of really small ones, which kind of work really well as like a group together. He did like Clone Troopers, Stormtroopers, and First Order Stormtroopers, and I have those all together because they're very propaganda-based. And then I have three that are kind of like rebellion-based, so I have them all together. But I ended up getting a very large version of one of them, which is three people holding up lightsabers, and it says together underneath it. And it is very good for people to sign. And nobody wanted to sign on it, because it's like, oh, it's so beautiful. But after the first couple, it's like, you know, a bunch of people have already signed on it, so it's not that big of a deal.
Who was the first person you had sign it?
Taylor Gray.
Ah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
It's a good first person for a lightsaber piece.
Yeah. I think the first person was Taylor Gray. Then I got a couple of comic book writers and artists. And then it was James Arnold Taylor.
Who I got autographed on Thursday.
You did, yeah.
Which was the single biggest highlight of the convention, which was amazing anyway. You might remember he was, when MC asked me what I was most excited about, it was James Arnold Taylor. And oh my gosh, did he live up to it.
You were shaking when you were done.
If I were the type to cry, I'd probably have been crying. I was maybe 10th in line, and he has a podcast that has basically kept me sane for the past few months, which I got to tell him. And he asked, you know, have I written into the show? Yep. Oh, have I read it on the air yet? Not yet. Which one was yours? I told him he remembered
email
and came bolting around the table to give me a hug with, you know, hundreds of people waiting behind me.
He is such a nice guy. Like, I didn't get to see him until, I think, Saturday. But the guy in front of me had arrived at the convention late and missed a photo op with him. And James Arnold Taylor was just like, well, let's take a selfie right now. And all of his handlers were like, no, 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 you can't do that. You can't do that. And he's just like, well, why not? And then he was like very apologetic to the guy. And he's like, well, you go and go to the table and you tell them that you missed your photo op and that I said that you get in on my next session. So, yeah, he seems to be like a super good dude. And when I got to talk to him, he was really nice. I didn't have as much to say to him as Sarah did, but I do love his work. So he was quite lovely.
So that was Thursday. What else did we do on Thursday?
We bought a lot of stuff, or I bought a lot of stuff.
We bought a lot of stuff.
Yes. Yeah, that was kind of split between Thursday and Monday, the buying of stuff.
Except for Friday, when we ended up in the Celebration store.
Yeah. But yeah, we walked around the floor to kind of see what everything was. And I believe I bought Pilots and Ewoks in Funko form.
Yep.
Yeah, because I didn't have the, I think, were they Walmart?
I think it was Walmart.
Yeah, they had the Walmart three packs, which I had never seen around here. So I was able to get them because I needed to have my pilots.
Pilots are the best.
Pilots are the best, especially X-Wing pilots.
Yep.
And I like Ewoks.
And Ewoks are cute.
I make no apologies for loving Ewoks. And of course, Sarah had brought a, what is it, the baby Nippet?
Yes.
To give to Cav and Scott.
Because there's no targets in the UK.
Yeah, there's no targets in the UK and there's no targets in Canada. I hadn't seen this one and I was so tempted to take that from him.
But now I have to go back to Target and find you one.
Yeah, because that one is freaking adorable and I really need to get it.
It really kind of is.
And I think kind of after that, the only thing we really did is we met up with a bunch of our Doctor Who friends.
Our other Chicago crowd people, yeah.
Yeah, we have mentioned before that we are both Doctor Who fans. We go to Doctor Who conventions. One of our Doctor Who cons is in Chicago.
Sort of. It's near Chicago.
Well, yeah. That's how things go. Like, anybody who lives in the suburbs or anything that goes on in the suburbs, people say that's in Chicago. That's why I say that I'm from Toronto.
Yeah, and I'm from Philadelphia area.
Just makes it easier. But yeah, so we went out to dinner with them, and it was really nice to see them. One of them was actually working as crew at the convention. She hadn't started yet, though, I don't think. But it's always good to see friends. And
nice to see them in a more relaxed way.
And so then we crashed out because we were up super early. And we kept on saying, it's like, we're not going to get up early because we don't really need to get in super early. The only thing we didn't get to do on Thursday that needed to be done early was I needed my hair a bust. Because we all know Hera is my wife.
And I had really wanted to go to the Celebration store because I had a photo op on Saturday that I wanted a shirt from the store to wear to.
Yeah.
Except the store went haywire and almost no one got through it. And the ones that did were in line for like 8 hours.
Yeah, we were really, there was a line like that went around like,
it went everywhere.
Wound out the hallway. So we didn't even try to go into the store. And we heard from VIPs who spent all day in line. So it's like, yeah, we're not even bothering. But Friday, again,
we all accidentally woke up early again.
Yeah, we accidentally woke up early again. So, and there was nothing to do other than go wait in line.
Right. And we wanted to do things first.
Yeah.
So we had early stuff to do. I can word. And
yeah, I wanted to get my bust, so that was like the first thing we did.
And we waited in line a few hours.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah, I think, what was it, 2 hours this time?
Something like that.
Yeah. And I was able to get to the Diamond booth, and of course everybody else in line was there for the Darth Maul statue.
And we were in line for the Hera bust.
Yeah. And there was one guy who was, like, just at the cutoff for Darth Maul, and because I didn't get it, he was able to, so he loved me, because it's
worked
like,
out really well.
I was like, yeah, Hera's my freaking wife, and I don't, like, the Darth Maul bust was amazing looking, but
I wouldn't want one.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want to carry it around all day.
Yeah, I don't really collect bad guy stuff, I mean, unless I happen to get it, and I'm like, oh, this is cool that this fell into my lap, but I'm not going to seek it out. And also, the Darth Maul bust is so fuck-off big.
Yeah, it really was.
I did see somebody had gotten the base signed by Ray Park, and I'm like, that's pretty cool.
That's pretty nice.
Need a Sam autograph on it, too.
Right.
Yeah. Especially because, like, Sam, like, when he's got, like, the legs like that, that's when Sam was, like, playing him.
Yes, because that was the Clone Wars. But anyway, we picked up the Hera busts and then stepped out of the exhibition hall and glanced at the Celebration store.
And we saw
a friend of ours.
Yeah. Another person from the Doctor Who cons was working crew for the Celebration store. But so we went and we said hi to her. And we saw that the lineup wasn't too bad because everybody was lined up for the
Episode 9 panel. So we promptly got in the line.
We did, yeah.
Just as the panel was starting.
Yeah, we did not put in for the lottery for the panel. We are not panel people.
No, not at all. rather spend my time doing other things, and especially at a convention that live streams their panels.
Yeah. Star Wars Celebration is really good at putting up a lot of their big, all of their big panels. And for the episode 9 panel, when you're in that huge room, you're going to be watching the screen anyways, because you can't really see what's going on stage. So it doesn't bother me to watch it later or watch it streaming. So what we did is we got into the Celebration store line and we watched the live stream on our phone.
Yep, sharing a pair of headphones along with almost everyone else in the line. All the TV's screens were playing it, and I think it was more fun doing it that way than being in the room. I really do. It was, everyone's was running at a slightly different speed, depending on how bad the lag was. So you'd see someone react, and then you'd get the same reaction 5 seconds later, and the person behind you would be about 2 seconds after that.
I nearly cried when everybody was cheering for Kelly.
Oh, that was beautiful.
And I'm just the thirstiest of thirsty notes. Oscar Isaacs looks exactly like I wanted Poe to look in episode 9. With the
bearded and scruffy.
With the beard and the gray. I mean, war can do that. War can cause you to go gray. So.
Yeah.
And he's really rocking that Reed Richards streak. I was so happy to see them all there. I mean, I know why Adam wasn't there, because he's doing this play.
I suppose that's an excuse.
This play with Carrie Russell, who also could have been there.
Yeah, I guess plays are...
I think it just started previews, too, so...
Yeah, I think you're right.
It would be really hard to get away.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I loved him before, but Eunice on the panel was so fucking adorable.
I don't think I paid much attention to him before, but but I'm a little in love with him now. He is precious.
I had seen some videos of him, and that is just so genuinely him.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a video of him, during the con where he posted a Vine as he was coming. Not a Vine. Oh my god, I'm dating myself. He was, it was like a Vine. He was posting, a Twitter video as he was coming out to the autographs, and he was making everybody who was waiting in line do Wookiee calls. He seems to enjoy being Chewbacca so much.
Who wouldn't?
Well, yeah. And I love how he has so much reverence for Peter Mayhew. I know my uncle was really hesitant of the idea of Eunice because he loves Peter so much. But after seeing the live stream, he was won over. Because he's adorable, and also he respects what came before him.
And it's so obvious how much he loves it.
Yeah, he's just wonderful. But anyways, the panel ran exactly the length of us waiting in line.
We walked into the store just as the trailer started.
Yeah, and you watched the trailer while you were trying to shop.
I was trying to shop. Watch the trailer, not drop my phone, not get tangled up on my headphones, carry around a whole bunch of plushes, all at the same time, and not walk into anything.
I did not want to split my attention that much, because I know I'm a walking disaster area, so I did not watch the trailer. I went shopping instead, and spent way too much money. Though I might have had an advantage by the fact that I wasn't splitting my attention, because I got blind boxes and you did not.
Yeah, but had I asked, they might have had them.
Yeah.
They had a sign that said they were out of blind boxes, and I believed it. And
yeah.
You asked, so.
No, actually, the cashier asked if I wanted any, and I'm like, hell yeah.
Huh. Yeah, no one asked me, but.
That's something I think they need to improve. I think the whole show store needs to be a bit improved on. It was very spread out in an odd way.
Yeah. It was, there was no organization to it whatsoever.
Yeah, you had, these weird columns of stuff. Or, bins of, plushes. And they didn't give people anything to, put stuff in.
No, so I was trying to hold 2 giant Lothwolves, 2 Convors, a Crystal Fox, a t-shirt. What else did I get? And not drop anything.
Yeah.
That didn't work. I kept dropping things. everywhere.
Yeah. And while we were doing all of this, I was saying that they really needed to have, like, somewhere, like, outside of the store to buy things like pins and stuff, because it seemed very inconvenient to do it in the store. Only to find out later they were actually doing something like that outside. They had, like, vending machines, but they did not tell anybody about it. I think people just kind of stumbled onto it.
Mm-hmm. Kind of shoved back in a corner.
And we didn't actually get to the machines until after they were out of the blind boxes. But I did get some blind boxes, and I got my Rex pin, which I really wanted.
And I traded for a Rex pin, which I really wanted.
Yeah, that was the only one we, like, super, like, absolutely needed to have from the blind boxes.
From the blind packs, yeah. Because I also really wanted the Wedge Antilles pin, but he came standard as part of the Rebellion pack.
Yeah. Yeah, I needed Wedge and I needed Poe.
Yes, and Poe was in the Resistance pack, so that actually worked out perfectly.
And while we needed Rex, we did not need the helmetless Rex. The chase
we did one. Until we saw a picture of him.
Yeah, it was scary.
Kinda creepy.
He had crazy eyes.
Yeah. But then some of the pins were also exclusives at exhibitors.
Yeah.
So we checked, who was it? It was Fantasy Flight?
Yes.
3 days in a row before we managed to get the Sabine pin.
Yeah, and that was the only day that randomly they had a lot late in the day.
Yeah, I don't know if they restocked partway through the day. I'm not complaining.
Yeah. Well, I think actually people had kind of given up at that point.
Oh, that's possible. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. I mean, they did end up selling out that day, but I think, like, it was Sunday, I think, that we got it.
Sure, that sounds right.
Yeah, and, like, people were, it seemed like a lot of people had kind of given up on trying to get the exclusives, because it's like, oh, there's too many people. And that one was one of the ones where you had, like, a minimum purchase. But I didn't mind, like, I bought the Force Awakens Beginners role-playing game, because I want to try to get into role-playing games. Like, I'm not enough of a nerd.
And I bought a pair of X-Wing figures because I collect X-Wings. So I had no problem with that.
Yeah, no, it was easy. And it was worth it to get a pin that I... Okay, there was this one pin guy who had, like, his entire booth was nothing but corkboard with pins in it. He apparently bought up a lot of the blind boxes at the con.
Okay.
Yeah, which is why they were so hard to find. And he was also buying pins from people, like, on the floor. I think the Sabine he was buying for, like, $45.
Oh, wow.
Something like that, yeah.
Nah, I'd rather have her.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other exhibitor-exclusive one I managed to get was Ahsoka, which was at Funko.
Yeah.
And that was with help of some random woman on a Facebook group. And I had posted, you know, I don't actually want any of the Funkos, but if anyone's getting the pin, or anyone's getting them and doesn't want the pin, please let me know. Someone took me up on it, and we managed to find her. She wouldn't even take money for it. She wanted a couple of our badge ribbons, and I have an Ahsoka pin that's going to live on my con bag for the rest of eternity now. And that kind of sums up, at least to me, how the atmosphere there. Everyone was so nice. It's like you needed help with something and people came and helped. You wanted a picture taken, people took your picture. You're looking for a pin, there's someone coming to your rescue.
Star Wars fandom can be so toxic online. And we've talked about this many times before. But when you actually meet the fans, they were just so good. I mean, there's like occasionally, especially me, I would have like experiences where there'd be like a guy ahead of me who was complaining about how they hated The Last Jedi. Specifically, how Rey had no hero's journey or conflictation, which is still one of my favorite quotes, because that kind of sums everything up. But when actually like dealing like with the fans, everybody's helping each other out. I didn't see anybody, like, shoving or cutting in line or hurting anybody, even though there's, like, exclusive things.
It was just everyone was happy to be there.
Yeah. It felt like family. Like, we've been to a lot of shows, small and big, and this was a big show. But in a lot of ways, it did have kind of the
feelings of a small con, where it's just like, I can talk about the thing that I'm super interested in, and I can make deep cuts.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I kept on saying, it's like, I can mention Ulick Keldroma, and five people in earshot are going to know who I'm talking about.
Which worked right up until I wore my Rogue Squadron pilot shirt, and nobody knew what it was.
It's possible. You wear your bag with the strap across it, it's possible people couldn't read your shirt.
That's true, but I also had people ask me what it was.
Then I can't explain that.
No, that was just a little, you know, I went slightly too obscure.
You hipster, which you.
Doesn't mean I won't try again next time.
Of course you will. Or else you'll just find another, like, Rogue Squadron shirt.
I have other Rogue Squadron shirts.
Of course you do, darling. So what else did we do on Friday? We got a bunch of autographs.
We got a lot of autographs.
Yeah. You got Sam.
I got Sam Witwer, yeah. Who is lovely and wonderful. And he asked me why I liked Maul, because I mentioned that Maul's one of the only bad guys that I like. I didn't actually have an answer, but during the Clone Wars panel, he managed to answer that question. Then I still can't put it into words. But he is lovely. I'm very, very glad I got the chance to meet him.
And I got to meet Taylor Gray and get his autograph. He was the first one on my print. And you just want to put him in your pocket. He is adorable.
He's so much like Ezra. He's just so cute.
Yeah. And the only autograph that I had actually bought, like, before the convention, like, it was, like, an absolute necessity that I got it, was we got Freddie Prinze Jr. And that was because I had a picture of Kanan and Hera, and I had Vanessa Marshall signed it already. And I'm like, well, this is half-dressed. It's missing Freddie, because Kanan needs to sign it, too. So we got to meet Freddie, and he was late. I think they lost him.
Oh, was that what happened?
Well,
they just misplaced one of their actors?
Well, I mean, remember when we were waiting in line and there were, like, people on phones and, like, radios and stuff. So I'm pretty sure they did lose him.
Or he just got distracted somewhere, which is very easy to happen.
And seems like something that Freddy would do. I mean, I'm not saying that he's scatterbrained, but I'm saying that he's a huge nerd. So I would think that he might actually be, like, nerding out at something like this.
Mm-hmm.
But we were near the head of the line, and Freddie was nice, but he seemed to be a little hurried, and I think that was because he was late.
Probably, yeah.
But he was nice, like, when we actually did get to meet him. You mentioned you liked his podcast. And
I do like his podcast. I told him that I learned the hard way that I should not listen to it at work.
And I can't even remember what I said to him, other than that I really love Kanan. And he was asking where he should sign on the picture. And he managed to sign exactly where I wanted him to sign, even though I was like, I don't know, wherever you like.
Aw, that's awesome.
Yeah. And then we got to go out to dinner again with friends. We met up with our friend Ken, who was attending the convention, who was always fun to hang out with.
And we made it into Chinatown.
And we made it into Chinatown, which is one of the things we definitely wanted to do because we were so close. And last time we were at a convention at McCormick Place, we couldn't really go to Chinatown.
Yeah, one of our other friends is gluten-free, so Chinatown was kind of out.
Yeah.
This time it was cold and windy and well worth the walk.
And there was lots of discussion of what the trailer meant and what's going to be happening in episode 9. So then we had Saturday, where I think we were a bit calmer about actually getting into the convention.
Yeah, I think my first thing on Saturday wasn't till the afternoon.
Yeah.
So I was no rush whatsoever.
Yeah, I think we still got in at like 10, but like we wandered over around then.
Yeah.
We weren't in line. I don't remember.
No, I think we got in line. It wasn't rushed, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, Saturday was my busy day.
It was your busy day. I don't remember seeing you a whole lot.
No, I had 3 autographs and 1 photo op.
You did, yeah.
And Gallifrey 1 tickets went on sale right in the middle of everything.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I had 3 paid for autographs and 1 photo op. That wasn't counting the writers.
Yeah, we did get a bunch of writers, too.
So I got to start my day with a photo with James Arnold Taylor and Matt Lanter.
And you had your Clone Wars saved shirt,
which is why we had to get to the Celebration store on Friday.
And you are very happy with your picture, and it's a very cute picture. I love it.
It is, and I do photo ops almost never, so I'm utterly thrilled with that one.
And while you were doing that, I went to the Rebels Remembered panel, which was a nice panel. I like, you know, Rebels is my favorite of the animated shows, so I liked being able to hear everyone talk about it. I was a little disheartened by it. Not because they didn't announce a new show, because I knew they weren't going to do that, but because I have genuine fear now that we will never find out what happens to Ezra. Have you watched the stream of it yet?
I haven't had a chance to yet. It's probably going to be tomorrow.
Okay, well, Dave Filoni was talking about when he was a kid, most of the shows he watched did not have a definitive ending on it. Like, it was all just kind of the adventure continues. And so the fact that he brought that up makes me think that, oh, maybe he's never going to tell us where Ezra is. No matter how many times Taylor Gray asks him. Because, yeah, Taylor Gray was asking him all through the panel, where's Ezra? Where's Ezra? Oh. And that was jokingly the first question that was asked, because he was... Dave was so relaxed when the Q&A started. He's like, ah, I can answer all of the questions this time. So the first guy is like, okay, so where's Ezra? And he's like, everything but that. But I would be really sad if we never find out what happens to Ezra and Thrawn. I think we have to find out at some point. It doesn't have to be a TV show. It can be a book. It can be a comic. But we have to find out something.
I think we're going to. I don't think it'll be anytime soon.
Yeah.
But we never thought we'd get more Clone Wars either.
That's true. And I suppose the decision isn't completely up to Filoni. Like, it's up to the story group. Mm-hmm. Which I know that Dave Filoni has, like, a loud voice in the story group. But he's certainly not the only one. And if enough fans are like, yeah, we need to know where Ezra and Thrawn are, that the story group will be like, okay, we've got to pull this lever now.
Yeah, I see somewhere in the future the Sabine and Ahsoka adventure stories.
I like the idea of that.
Which will answer the Ezra and Thrawn question also.
Of course, you know how I feel about it, where I want Luke to go along with them too, but that's because of my own feelings. It was actually really funny because I on Monday during... right before the start of the Writers' Roundtable, we were let into the room about 15 minutes early. And I was talking about how I shipped Ezra and Luke. And the girl sitting behind us had such a strong reaction to it that I'm like, oh my god, I am not used to, like, being in places where if I mention something like Ezra and Luke, where people will actually, like, register what I'm saying and, like, kind of understand it. Because I say shit like that all of the time at Doctor Who cons, and, like, nobody, it's like, okay, MC and Sarah are talking about Star Wars again. Let's just let them.
We'll just ignore them.
Yeah. I mean, I've written a full, like, fanfic about Jack Harkness and Poe Dameron at Mos Eisley Cantina, and nobody batted an eye. They're just, like, they're doing their weird stuff again.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, that was really funny. She was a Luke and Mara Jade shipper. That was the problem she had with the idea of Luke and Ezra.
That's right. I forgot who she shipped.
Yeah. But as far as we know, Mara Jade doesn't exist in this universe, so.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, back to Saturday.
Back to Saturday, because there was still a lot of stuff on Saturday.
There was so much on Saturday.
We got Alexander Freed and Kevin Scott's autographs. Well, you got Alexander Freed. I think you already had Kevin Scott's autograph, right?
I did. A lot of the writers who overlap with Star Wars and Doctor Who I've already met. And from previous conventions.
Yeah.
I've met a few of the writers already.
Yeah, met. Like, I don't know if our listeners know this, but Sarah knows everyone. And if she doesn't know them...
I inadvertently know everyone. Yeah.
And if she doesn't know them, by God, by the end of the convention, she will know them.
Uh-huh.
But you needed to get Alexander Freed for your thing, and I needed to get both of them for mine. And this was another, like, we were both in line at the same time, but we were
coming from different places, so we were not in line together.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It was, but we both made it through the line.
We both made it through the line, yes. And actually,
which was the important part.
That was the lineup where I met the guy who thought no Ray didn't have any conflictation. So that's how I remember that.
So you get a good story out of it.
Yeah, I have a good story now, but actually at the time, I was really miserable because he put me in a bad mood. Because he was complaining about that, and he was complaining about people like with mobility issues cutting in line. Quote unquote cutting in line. And so I'm like, you are, like, a miserable person. Why do you have to be behind me? Or in front of me, yeah.
Near you.
Yes. Close enough that I have to hear what you're saying. Right. But still, got their autographs, and Alexander Freed said that he hopes he did Hera justice for me. Kevin was lovely. I got to, you know, spend more time with him later on, but, you know, I love meeting writers. That's, like, my favorite part of conventions.
Writers are the most fun.
Yeah.
They really are.
Yeah. And while I was waiting in line to finish up with that, I think you ran off to get Dee Bradley Baker, right?
Yeah, I had my afternoon was autograph, autograph, brief gap, autograph. So I went running back over to get Dee Bradley Baker's autograph, who was adorable and lovely and said something to me in Rex's voice, but I don't remember what it was now.
He said something to me in Rex's voice too. I remember what he said though.
I have no idea what he said to me, but it was in Rex's voice, so I was happy. And then Matt Lanner was right after that. I didn't even leave the autograph area. I just went from one queue to the next, so I was like fourth person. And Matt Lanner, I know exactly what I said to him. Said, I should probably tell you I love you in the Clone Wars, but I really, really loved you in Timeless. which, if you haven't seen, Timeless is an awesome show about time travel that got canceled, uncanceled, canceled, and uncanceled with a movie.
Wow.
Yeah, the fans went a little nuts about it, and I admit I was one of them. and it was, it's a great show, and he's phenomenal in it, and I can't help but see it as, oh, Anakin, stop that. It's, what if Anakin could time travel?
Oh, Anakin, stop that is basically, that's the prequel era in a nutshell.
Right. Yeah.
And then you had more autographs, and I had an autograph. I think this is when I got James Arnold Taylor's autograph, and he was, as we've already said, he was lovely. He is such a nice guy. Not at all what I pictured when I hear the Obi-Wan Kenobi voice, but he was great.
And while you were getting James, I was getting Tia Sarkar.
Yes.
Who was the last of the Rebels cast that I needed to meet, aside from Dave Filoni. And she was cute and adorable and wanted to sign in purple, except that Steve Blum already had. So she couldn't do it in purple also because Zeb had priority on that color.
Then we went back and we motored on over to Del Rey again because we wanted to get Claudia Gray's autograph. And I was like second in line. And then I moved back in line to join you because you were like 10th in line.
Yeah, we weren't way far back. Her line gets capped very quickly.
It really does. Like, I showed up on Thursday, I want to say, to try and get her autograph. And they said for, like, writer autographs to show up 10 minutes early. I showed up 15 minutes early and it was already capped. And actually, at one point, I heard Jason Fry, while he was signing, the line was forming. And he's like, what's that line for? He's like, oh, Claudia? Okay, now I understand.
But we both made it into that one.
We did, yes. And it was super important. Like, we have talked about Claudia Gray on this podcast before. We have so many feelings about Claudia Gray. And we were able to get there and get her autograph. And I can't remember exactly what I said, but I know it was fangirl gushing.
I told her Bloodline is one of the only books that has made me cry.
Aww.
And like I said earlier, I'm not a crier. So I hope she took that as a good thing like I meant it.
I'm sure she did. I was just like, oh my god, I love all of your books. They're all so good. Yeah. And then I got Jason Fry's autograph again this time because now I had the poster, so I wasn't carrying around books. So I have his autograph twice. Everybody else, I kind of gave up on the books because books are fucking heavy.
And awkward.
Yeah. And they can get damaged, so it's like...
Yeah, I like just doing the poster. It's a lot easier.
I agree.
So after we got Claudia, we were just like, okay, like no matter what happens after this, we are like sated in terms of the convention. We have
everything from this point forward is bonus.
Yeah. Though I still had another autograph to get through just the next day. But after this, we had the podcast meetup.
Sometime on Saturday, we also ran into the comic book guys.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
It was in the morning. We were just exploring, and there was Greg Pak and Ethan Sachs, and then John Tyler Christopher showed up eventually, and Tom Groneman, the editor, or assistant editor, I think he is. So we're like, oh, awesome. Accidental autographs are great.
Yeah, no, I think we were just randomly like going down to that section because we hadn't really gone over there. And it's like, hey, there are people signing over here.
Yeah, it was just perfect, perfect timing.
And of course, since there weren't a lot of people over there, we got to talk to them a little bit. It was awesome. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. But yeah, there was a lot of autographs, which is weird because that's not something you and I usually do.
No, I somehow ended up with 17.
I got 15. Do you know what? If I had been a bit pushier on Monday after the writer's roundtable, I could have hit the same number as you.
Mm-hmm.
But as it is, I got very close. And 15 is a lot.
Yeah, it really, really is. But yes, so Saturday night we had the podcast meetup.
We did, yes, which we were very excited about because, of course, we wanted to pimp this podcast.
And meet other podcasters.
And we wanted to meet some other podcasters.
So Coffee with Kenobi put this thing together at the Arc Bar at the Hyatt. No organization, just kind of people meet there.
Yeah, boom. Show up. At first, we were like, oh my god, I forgot how to people.
Or we were just overpeopled.
Yeah.
Neither of us are super outgoing, so kind of shove us in a crowd, and sometimes it'll work better than others.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's hard when you don't know people. Because we were alone, we were alone together.
Right.
While everybody else seemed to, know each other a little bit more. And weirdly enough, I'm a little more introverted, I think, than you are. But I seem to be the one that was, pinpointing people.
You were really good at button spotting. And using it to start conversations.
Yeah, I kind of realized that my way to get in, and this was not, I would find somebody who was wearing a button or a shirt or something that I thought was cool, and I'd be like, hey, I love your shirt or I love your pin. And it was I did honestly mean what I was saying, but it was also just a good way to kind of slide in there and be like, let's talk. And we met a lot of really nice people. We met some podcasts that you know, some podcasts that I know.
Some podcasters who know us.
That was shocking.
That was the coolest thing.
Yeah. Oh, that also what happened on Saturday. I found people wearing my designs.
That's right.
The stuff that I sell on Etsy and TeePublic. I saw somebody wearing my Save Ben Solo shirt, which I was planning to wear on Sunday. Yeah, there was somebody wearing it, and I just, pointed at her and went, oh my god! And she's just like, what? And she thought there was something wrong. And I'm like, that's just my shirt! I designed that shirt. I have never seen my shirts out in the wild. It's only been, my friends wearing them, and it's like, oh, you're my friend. Of course, you're gonna buy my stuff, because I probably made it for you.
Yeah. Basically, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I saw somebody wearing the Save Ben Solo shirt, and then I saw a guy who was dressed as Alexander Hamilton from Hamilton as a stormtrooper, and he was wearing my Organa and Alderaanian musical pin, and I was just gonna stop him to say that I loved his costume, because it was great, and then I noticed his pin, and he had bought it, a week before the convention. Or maybe I sent it out a week before the convention. I was just really bad at sending things out. But he actually contacted me after the con was over. And he was just like, I was really glad to meet you and glad that I got to wear your pin.
So oh, that's awesome.
It was really nice to have that But yeah, so we did meet some people who knew our podcast and liked us, and we got to meet some other people and have a lot of discussions about, I mean, like, we had the best icebreaker, like, once you got into a conversation. It was just like, so what do you think of the trailer? And just all of these people who are, like, theorists or, you know, used to talking about this kind of thing, where all this back and forth, and it was really fun. And then I got into a couple of Raylo conversations, and Sarah had to make herself scarce.
I hung around for a few of them, and by, like, the third or fourth, I went, I can't hold this conversation. You have fun. Yeah. And I'll go find drinks.
Well, I do what I do. But that was so much fun, getting to meet other podcasters. I would like to do that more the next time we go, because, yeah, sorry, guys. There's going to be a next time. I shouldn't apologize to you guys. I should apologize to my wallet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my wallet hurts. Worth it. But my wallet hurts.
Yeah. After Saturday, I was so exhausted on Saturday.
Yeah. Was Saturday when we ran into the malls walking back?
It is, yeah.
We were walking back from the bar, from the Hyatt bar. And it's cold and freezing and miserable. And we walk right through a group that includes Ray Park and Sam Witwer. And we're like, oh, yeah. That's who those were, about 10 steps past them.
And we were good. We did not accost them in the streets.
No, but had it happened again, I probably would have. Yeah. But it didn't, so.
Yeah.
They're safe.
So, Sunday was also a really good day. But it was kind of at this point where it's just like, whatever else we do, it's, we're going to have fun. And everything else is just kind of bonus. The first thing I think was we got Charles Soule's autograph.
Right.
Because you really wanted to get that. Because you have trouble getting him at Comic Cons. Because
he's very popular.
And he was very popular here, just not as popular.
Not hours of lines popular. Yeah. So that was good. I liked that one. That was easy and painless.
Yeah. We were a bit worried because Charles Soule and E.K. Johnson were signing at the same time at opposite ends of the convention hall.
Mm-hmm.
But it worked out beautifully because we went and got Charles Soule's first, and there was a bit of a line, but not much of one. Took maybe 20 minutes. So then we booked on over to Pride Legion, where E.K. Johnson was signing, and she had no line.
No, we thought there was a line, but they were just hanging around.
Yeah. I think what was happening on The Mandalorian was happening.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, I don't think, I think it had maybe just started, so like everybody was doing that. We did not do it, so we do not know the footage from it, because they didn't show that at any of the live streams.
I admit that I haven't watched what they did show at the live streams yet. I will get around to it, I promise, but I just haven't yet.
I have not either, because I've been dealing with a broken car and having to go back to work, so.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, I'm lucky thing. I was able to sit down and do this podcast.
Hmm. Yeah.
There was something that we wanted to do, but we thought there was absolutely no way we were going to be able to. We wanted to go to the Clone Wars panel.
It was the only panel I wanted to do.
But we did not put into any of the lot. Well, and it wasn't actually a lottery one.
That one, the lotteries were only for the first panel of the morning. The first panels of the
day, yeah.
And then they weren't clearing the room.
Yeah.
So I thought there was no chance. I accepted there was no chance of getting into the Clone Wars panel.
Yeah. Though actually, as I found out later, apparently the actual like convention center, like the live room, mm-hmm. was not full.
No, it wasn't. It was snowing and miserable that day.
Oh, it was awful.
So we think that a lot of people came to the overflow room instead of the main space because you had to go outside to get to it.
The overflow room was packed. It was full. Absolutely full. Like they actually said on the app. It's like, yeah, no more room.
But I had been down in that area for a live podcast. You were at an autograph?
Yes. Yes. Was that when I got... Yes, I think that's when I got Dee Bradley Baker.
Okay.
Yeah. Which I should, you know, talk a little bit about that because he was lovely. I love Rex so much, and I told him how important it was to me that Rex survived Rebels, and
make it to Endor. And he said in the Rex voice, all the way to Endor and beyond. And so I took that as tacit approval of the idea of Rex surviving until the sequel trilogy.
Yay!
Because he totally did. I don't care about clone aging.
It's Star Wars. It's all fixable.
Yes. And you and I had a long discussion on, I guess, Monday night about exactly how he survived. And it will be happening in my story. So just, I mean, we already know Rex survived, but I actually have, like, reason for it. And it's wonderful. Wait for it.
Note to that, I like heartbreak, so I'm sorry.
But yes, so the Clone Wars panel. So you got into line for it, and I was able to join you in that line, and I think we waited for an hour and a half, which
just was, about, yeah.
Which was fine. You know, we got to talk to some nice people about the various things we'd done at the convention.
Mm-hmm.
We got swag.
We did get swag.
Yeah. And then we got to see the Clone Wars sneak peek, and oh my god.
Ah, oh, goosebumps, goosebumps everywhere, goosebumps.
You held my hand during...
I clung to you.
Just the opening bit. Like, not even, like, any of the new footage. It was all footage from...
It
like,
was adrenaline.
Yeah, and you were just clutching my hand so tightly...
Sorry.
...that you did not hold my hand for any of the other ones, because you were afraid you were going to break it.
Yeah, kind of.
But, oh my gosh, like... We knew they were going to do Bad Batch.
Well, we knew they were going to do one of the unfinished reels. I had assumed it would be Bad Batch.
Bad Batch is better to do than Crystal Crisis. Yeah.
Yes. So it's Bad Batch, and they showed us a clip from it.
Yes.
And then there's an arc that kind of takes Ahsoka's story from leaving the Jedi to the path where she'll become the Ahsoka we know in Rebels.
Yay!
Which was, and it's in the underworld.
I am so looking forward to that.
I'm so excited about that one. That one is completely new. We know nothing about it.
And then we got the Siege of Mandalore.
Which everyone knew was coming.
Well, yeah, but still, we got to see, like, it was unfinished footage, but still, it was just like, oh my god.
It's real. It's happening. It's, oh my goodness.
I teared up.
Yeah.
And the trailer looks, oh my god. I'm so looking forward to it. They still haven't announced a date yet. I know we did other stuff on Sunday, but I can't for the life of me remember what.
We did other stuff on Sunday? I don't remember.
I'm sure we did.
I'm sure we did too, but I have no memory of what it was.
I think we were all like flush with Clone Wars.
Yeah.
We probably like walked the floor.
Yeah, I have no idea.
And then Monday we went to the writers' roundtable. That was the first thing we did, and it was kind of the last official con thing. The rest was kind of. Oh, do you know what we did on Sunday? We played. Sunday and Monday were play days.
Yeah, we just.
Where we just kind of walked around and we like took pictures of stuff and we took pictures with stuff.
And we bought more stuff.
And yeah, it was the same thing on Monday, except we also went to the Writers' Roundtable, which we were told it's like, this is the one you want to go to. And, okay, so it was five authors on this roundtable. It was Claudia Gray.
Charles Soule.
Justina Ireland, Kevin Scott, and Daniel Jose Older. And it was a really good conversation about how they got into writing. They all have very interesting lives before they got into writing. And then they actually got into writing about Star Wars. And I think, of course, the big news that came out of this panel was hashtag Project Luminous, which everybody is speculating about.
And so far, all anyone knows is that it is... a project.
Yeah. What they said on the panel is that all of them went to Skywalker Ranch, and there were pictures of them at Skywalker Ranch together. They watched The Empire Strikes Back, and they said that the last time that they had been at Skywalker Ranch, they had watched A New Hope. Amongst all of the speculation, I think, like, having processed it all, I am down on the side of Project Luminous being from a certain point of view, too. Because I have since found out that
before they announced From a Certain Point of View, they actually teased it as Operation Blue Milk.
Yep.
So Operation Blue Milk, Project Luminous, they kind of go together. And actually thinking about Empire Strikes Back, I think you could probably get away with fewer writers on it.
And longer stories. Okay.
Also, from a business perspective, I could see it being a lot easier to deal with only 5 writers. And this is coming from somebody who's worked on projects that have had many, many writers. Sarah and I have both worked on books that have hundreds of writers on them. And because of that, the writers don't actually receive any compensation. We actually donate all of the proceeds to charity, which is the same thing that happened with From a Certain Point of View. And I'm thinking not only is that because, you know, it's nice to give to charity, but it's because it's so hard to get royalties to 40 different writers. So I'm kind of wondering if from a business perspective, it's like, it's a lot easier to deal with 5 people.
Or they want to do something similar, but not a repeat.
That's also a good point. And also, I just don't think there are as many people in Empire.
No.
Empire doesn't have, like, one of those, like, big group scenes, like, from a certain point of view. So much of it is the Mos Eisley Cantina.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, having listened, I was listening to From a Certain Point of View on the way back, and I figured out, like, I was always like, the cantina part drags. I figured out where, like, my breaking point was. It was the Cluehorn caper story.
Okay.
Which is a fine story on its own. But by that point, it's like, I've already heard about Greedo like 3 times. So I feel bad about that. But, you know, it's not that story's fault. It's just like, because they had repeated it over and over again. And that might be another reason why they want to have fewer writers. It's like, let's do a story from Yoda's point of view. Let's do one from Wedge's point of view.
Yes, please.
One from Lobot's point of view. You knew I would say yes to that one. I know.
Yeah, that's why I said that. Too.
Yeah. Just maybe one of the bounty hunters that's not Boba Fett. Yeah, just pick, like, the 5 biggest moments and have, like, longer stories. So,
but at the moment, everything is just theorizing.
Yeah, this is all just theorizing. But this is kind of... And honestly, like, when I went into this panel, I was saying, it's like, this is my I Want a Pony, is the announcement of a From a Certain Point of View for Empire. I was happy because it's like, maybe I got it.
But we won't know for close to another year.
Yeah.
Because this is not till 2020.
Yeah. Which... What is having its 40th anniversary in 2020?
I don't know.
Jeez, yeah.
Let's see. I can't even think of another movie that came out that year, so.
That's a good... I can't think of anything off the top of my head either. And of course, there's probably something really obvious that it's like, oh, come on. Like, how could you not think of this? But... Nothing's coming up on the top of my head.
No, because the only important movie having its 40th anniversary next year is The Empire Strikes Back.
I just looked it up. Like, other movies that came out were, like, The Shining, Superman 2, Raging Bull, Airplane, The Blues Brothers.
Right, so the only relevant movie having its 40th anniversary next year is Empire.
Yeah.
I stick with what I started saying.
How dare you besmirch the name of Private Benjamin?
No comment. I know at some point we stopped into the IDW paddle.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I think we played for a while.
Yeah.
We bought some stuff. I bought a lot of stuff.
I bought some stuff, too.
Yeah.
Not as much stuff, but stuff.
I bought more Pops and more Ewoks. And then, yeah, we did stop into the IDW panel for, I think, the last 10 minutes or so, because wanted to say hi to people.
Yeah, one of the editors at IDW, Denton, tipped in, I know from Doctor Who stuff, as I seem to know a lot of the writer people. I haven't seen him in a couple of years, so it was a good chance to say hi. Yeah. And
it was fun to, like, see the end of that panel.
Yeah, because IDW does Star Wars Adventures, which is the kids' comics. And it's just kind of charming to see the kids having fun with it.
And then I got Delilah S. Dawson's autograph.
because mm-hmm. that was kind of the last thing I needed to, like, complete my writers. I mean, there were a few I missed because they only did, like, one signing, or they were, like Timothy's on. Well, first of all, he was super popular, but he was only doing signings where you had to buy one of his books to, like, get autographed, and I'm like, I don't want to spend $40 and then wait in line for Timothy Zahn's autograph. I think I'll have another chance. Yeah.
Yeah, so. I'm the same that way. I already have the books, so I didn't want to buy another one and wait in line.
Yeah. Also, like, they, by the time I went over, they didn't have any copies of the first Thrawn book. They only had Thrawn Alliances, and I'm sorry, I didn't like Thrawn Alliances enough for me to buy it in hardcover. Not, like, brand new, $40.
No, that's fair point.
I mean, the first Thrawn book, maybe, yeah.
And I don't collect the hardcovers, so for me that's not even a question.
I do, so. Yeah. And I will regret that forever.
They're heavy.
Mm. But they look really nice when they're signed and on a shelf.
They're yeah, so they do, pretty. But they're heavy.
Yeah.
And then there was closing ceremonies, which we didn't go to. And then they announced Anaheim.
Yeah, I think, actually, we went into the show store again because there was absolutely no line.
Oh, that's right. We did walk back through and there was no line or anything we wanted. Did you get something?
I got the lunchbox.
You got the lunchbox. I did not get anything else.
Yeah, I got the lunchbox because I had wanted to buy it. And I was like, oh, no, I'm buying way too much stuff right now. But then when we saw there's no line, I was like, let me go in and look at the lunchbox again. Oh, that lunchbox is really cute and will make a really nice, like, sewing kit. So
I can't argue with that at all.
So, yeah, I did buy that. And while I was checking out, that's when they announced Anaheim 2020, which I had been saying for, like, ever.
Right, but here's the thing. We came into this saying this will be the only time we get to go.
Yeah.
It's the weekend worked. The location worked. We both had the time at this point. This was going to be it.
This worked
we
out really well.
We did everything because we thought this might be the only time we got to do this.
And if this is, I'm saying this, if this is the only time we get to do this, I am satisfied with this.
Oh, me too. But they said Anaheim and I said I'm going.
And I said, oh, I want to go. I don't know if I'll be able to because I have taken on a lot of responsibilities that need me to not be traveling. And it's a lot of money, but it's, I would really, really like to.
And if you don't, I will send you all the things, all the stories, and...
Yeah, I have already told you I won't be mad if you go. I'll be sad. I will have such bad FOMO.
But I will get you stuff, and I will send you pictures. And we're on... This is next year I'm already planning for.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, Star Wars Celebration, fantastic. Like, no regrets in going at all.
Absolutely none. It was... If I say it's one of the best conventions I've ever been to, I think I'm not exaggerating in the slightest.
No, I don't think I'm exaggerating either by saying that. It's because I have with other conventions I go to, a lot of them, I don't go for the convention. I go for the people. Like, because I would like to see my friends. And the rest of the convention, it's like, oh yeah, there's a convention going on. And I'll, like, do some stuff, but it's, like, not anything that's, like, a super big deal. But this, we were completely immersed in this convention, and we did all of the things.
Yeah, I think there was only one or two things we didn't do that we wanted to, which is insane on a convention of this size.
Yeah, and that was because there was, like, other stuff we wanted to do at the same time, and it's like, mm-hmm. this stuff takes priority.
Yeah, but it felt like coming home. It really did.
It really did, yeah. To everyone out there, if you ever thought about going to Star Wars Celebration before, go. If you're afraid of large cons, this is actually probably a good one for you to test the waters in. If you're a big Star Wars fan, because, like, Sarah can attest, I have severe anxiety, and I often have panic attacks at large cons and have to leave. And, like, calm myself down. But for the most part, I was okay. Like, the few times when I did have moments like that, it's like, okay, I'll take 10 minutes to get some fresh air. And then I wanted to go back in because I did not want to be away from the convention.
And it's an easy convention that if you just want to step outside for a few minutes, You do, you turn around, you come right back in and pick it back up.
Yeah, and I mean, like, now, like, that it's been opened up, there's, like, other stuff that I would like to do the next time. It's like, I might even be interested in going to, like, a 501st Rebel Legion gathering, because they looked like they were having a lot of fun.
They really did. I don't regret not going, but I think I'd like to go to the next one.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like,
yeah,
seeing, like, guys, like, in full, like, tuxedos, and then realizing that, oh my god, those tuxedos are Stormtrooper patterned.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh my god, that's Stormtrooper military dress.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That was in the hotel lobby.
Yeah. So, yeah, love the con. Planning to go again. Mm-hmm. That's really all we can say. Like, it's just, like, yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing, and I cannot wait to see what they do next time.
So, I think that wraps things up for this month, but until then, you know, let us know how we did. You can drop us a line on Tumblr at trashcompactorpodcast.tumblr.com, on Twitter at swtrashpodcast, on Facebook at trashcompactorpodcast, or at our website, trashcompactorpodcast.com.
I'm on Twitter at Murnell, M-I-R-N-E-L-L.
And I'm on Twitter at Comical Claire, C-O-M-I-C-A-L-C-L-A-R-E. And we'll write those down so that you can find them easily. And be sure to rate us at iTunes and Stitcher. And we've got show merchandise at TeePublic and Redbubble. And see you next month, and may the Force be with you.
So long! Yum, yum.